Good morning. Morning. Really good to be with you. A few months since I was here last time. Oops. But we sang the song, God is really holding on. Was it God is holding on? I remember. Anyone remember? God is holding on. Well, I got a couple of things prepared about three places in the Bible. And I was listening to a song this morning. And the song was called, I Call Your Name and You Are There. And that's really what the Christian faith is all about, isn't it? I call your name and you are there. I called on the name of Jesus Christ in 1984. And he's been with me ever since. He's never left me, completely and totally changed my life, as I'm sure those of you here that are Christians, he's changed your life. You called on his name and he was there. When when the Israelites were in Egypt, they were prisoners, they were under slavery, weren't they? They went through the Red Sea and they were delivered. And in chapter 16, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord. They sang this song to the Lord because they were delivered. Their lives were completely and totally changed. They saw the Egyptians on the bank of the river, didn't they? You read that before? And Exodus 14, so the Lord saved Israel at that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Now, as we look into our lives, we can see God moving, can't we? We can see him moving. We can say, thank you, Lord, you've saved me. We can say that, can't we? Thank you, Lord, you've saved me. You've delivered me. And they won't go on to sing, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed. Sorry, Tony, I'm messing up your thing there. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Now, we're all very busy, aren't we? We go to work, and if we don't go to work, we might be retired and doing nothing all day, every day. I don't suppose it works out like that, does it? But God has triumphed gloriously in your life. And things can come along and we can forget that. He has triumphed gloriously. He has become your salvation. Just as the Israelites were under slavery, then they were free. All right, they had a lot of problems still ahead. But they were free. They were free and they thanked God for their freedom. Even though they didn't know what was ahead, there's a wilderness and all the rest of it, they didn't know, but they thanked God that he had delivered them. And by them thanking God that he had delivered them, it blessed them, didn't it? By coming here this morning, you're praising God because you are on resurrection ground, aren't you? You cannot praise God if you're not on resurrection ground. You cannot praise God if you, am I forgiven? Have I asked the Lord? No, you cannot. You can only praise God on resurrection ground when you say, thank you, Lord, that I am saved. And that does us good, doesn't it? It does us good. It's great. And God says, yes, I have saved you. And by you thanking me and by you praising me, that blesses you and it encourages you. And I'm sure very often you've gone out of this church after the Sunday morning service, you think to yourself, well, I'm really glad I turned up to church this morning because I feel different. And the reason why you feel different is because you praise God on resurrection ground. You're delivered. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Whatever lies ahead of you, God's right hand is holding you up. Whatever I do, You know, sometimes we climb up ladders still. I know I look too old to climb up ladders, but sometimes we do it. Only do little jobs. I think, oh, Lord. I'm always asking God to help me. Remember, you know, Jesus was a carpenter. Whatever lies in your path, whatever it is, whether it's tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, God is well able to help you. Well able to help you. Now, how did God shoot out the water through the Red Sea? Any I won't ask you. Anyway, I have asked you, but I don't want you to put your hand up, because we haven't got time for that. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. Now, I don't want you to experiment, because there might be some debris flying around the hall. But the blast of God's nostrils. Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing. He created everything, didn't he? Who is like you, O Lord, among gods? It says in, this is Exodus 15. Who is like you among gods? Where would you be? Ask yourself, where would I be if God hadn't drawn me to him however many years ago that was? Now, if any of you here are not Christians, just listen. Listen, because when I became a Christian, changed my life, changed, it was the most important thing that had ever happened to me. God revealed himself to me, revealed my need, and if you're a Christian, he revealed your need to you, whether you were 4 years old, 44, or however old, you were taken to that point. Now, I'll just go on a bit more to, where is it, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and a lawyer says to Jesus, what does he say? He says, Luke chapter 10, he says, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus goes on to talk to him about the Good Samaritan. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. This is a picture of fallen mankind, isn't it? This man was on a long journey, 15 miles, 18 miles long, steep terrain, caves, boulders, on his own. And it speaks really of a human life. You get born, and when I was born, I was pretty young. I don't know about you, but you get born, and you're a kid, you're adult, teenage adult, and looking back on your lives, you think, well, a lot of things have happened, a lot of things have gone wrong, and a lot of things could have worked out better. But it's a hazardous, dangerous journey. And you are on your own. You are on your own, whether you're married, whether you've got kids, or whether you're single. You are answerable to God, aren't you? And as the man was half, let's say he was half dead, he was naked. Yeah, they stripped him of his clothing, they wounded him, and leaving him half dead. He was totally powerless. He couldn't save himself. And that's a picture of anyone coming to the point, realizing they need help. They need help. They need outside help. I need help from someone, because how I am now, I am totally powerless. I am totally helpless. Now, all the Old Testament, a lot of the Old Testament foreshadowings, prophecies, look forward to what Galatians 4:4 says. And Galatians 4:4 says, at the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. At the fullness of time. There's no plan B, in other words. There's no other revelation God has to reveal himself and his way of salvation. There's no plan B. There's no other chance. You see, all of the Old Testament, all the prophecies and everything, all look forward. All the foreshadowings look forward to the cross of Christ. And all the, in the New Testament, apart from the Gospels, which are mainly historical, but all the letters of the New Testament, they all look back to the cross of Christ. You see, the cross of Christ is a central theme in God's plan. And it says at the fullness of time, at just the right time, God sent his Son. And if you're thinking here this morning, if for any reason you're not a Christian and you've not given your life to the Lord, then God is speaking to you and he is saying, the fullness of time has come to you because I have got you in the palm of my hand and I want you to give your life to me. There's no plan B. There's no other opportunity. I'm not saying you're going to die tomorrow. That's not what I'm meaning. But there's the only one way of salvation, and that is through Jesus. It was a steep incline. The man was powerless and helpless. His only opportunity was the Good Samaritan. And to be honest, the Good Samaritan doesn't reflect Jesus because the Good Samaritan was mixed race, whereas Jesus was a Jew. But the priest and the Levite, they represent the Old Testament law. And of course, no one can keep the Old Testament law. We all fail. You know, we fail. And the only one that hasn't failed, the perfect, sinless, is Jesus Christ. And he is the one who died for you. The fullness of time has come. Give your life to Jesus if you haven't, and I imagine most of you have. But Jesus was a shepherd. He came and he said, I am the good shepherd. And we are sheep. You are a sheep. A sheep. Now, a sheep is designed to recognize they need help. You've been put together, we have been put together in such a way that we need a shepherd. We cannot do it on our own. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, it's about David and Goliath. And David, I mean, there are types of Christ in the Old Testament. Isaac, Joseph, and David. We won't go into any of those, but David, the type of Christ. And looking at David and Goliath, it just comes out so clearly. Now, the Philistine, Goliath, he came out and he terrified the people of God, didn't he? He was harassing the Old Testament saints, if you like. But David, where was David? At this point in time, David was in his father's house caring for a sheep. Now, whatever you're going through, if you feel that Goliath, current present day Goliath, is shouting at you, you've got opposition, I want to tell you, Jesus says to you, I am in my father's house and I am praying for you. I am interceding for you. And by realizing and being reminded that Jesus is praying for you, that can help us. It can help us whatever lies ahead. You go into tomorrow, or next week, whenever, you say, thank you, Lord. I am not on my own in this. You are with me. Now, David's father, Jesse, he said to his son, take now for your brothers an ephah of dried grain. He takes grain, he takes loaves, he takes cheeses to his brothers on the front line. David goes to his brothers, goes to Israel, laden with good gifts. Now, 1 Samuel 17, look it up sometime, 1 Samuel 17 verse 20, says, so David rose early in the morning And there's no insignificant details in the Bible. David rose early in the morning. It shows his readiness to go on his mission. Jesus, it speaks of Jesus. Jesus was ready to go on his mission to save you, laden with good gifts for you, laden with gifts of making you realize your need of a shepherd, making you realize, Lord, I am helpless without you. I realized in 1984 that when this particular night that Louis Palau was on the TV on a Terry Wogan show and he was talking about heaven and hell, and I realized hell is an eternity. And I fled to Jesus Christ. I got on my knees, asked God's forgiveness, asked Jesus Christ to come in. Nothing changed. Next morning I got up, I felt totally different. I fled to Jesus Christ. And when you realize what God has for you, you don't do it half-heartedly. You flee to Jesus. Amen? Amen. You flee to him. David came laden with good gifts for his brothers. Jesus Christ left heaven laden with good gifts for you. Thank you, Lord. Good gifts of forgiveness, good gifts of comfort, good gifts of, we heard it earlier on from our sister, patience, good gifts of endurance, good gifts of peace, good gifts of kindness and good works, helping people. Jesus Christ came laden with good gifts, and they were from his Father in heaven. God loves you. God loves you deeply, and he gave his Son gifts to give so that you could be a blessing on this earth. David, still in 1 Samuel 17, David, now just think about this. The Good Shepherd, Jesus is a Good Shepherd. David is a type of Christ. David, when he realizes God's called him to face Goliath, verse 40, he took his staff in his hand. The shepherd goes before Goliath in the wilderness, and it speaks of Jesus defeating Satan in the wilderness when he's tempted. The shepherd goes before Goliath in the wilderness. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter if you've come under attack, the shepherd is with you facing the enemy. That's good news, isn't it? Amen. David, he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, which speak running water, that speaks of the Holy Spirit. David, then he went up to Goliath, he knocked him out with a stone, and then he took his sword. This didn't actually kill Goliath. What killed Goliath was David took Goliath's sword and he cut off his head. He killed him. With a sword, he drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head. And so you can't help but think of Hebrews 2:14. Hebrews 2:14 says that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Jesus has defeated death. We can live confidently. However long we might live on this earth, we can live confidently knowing that you submitted your life to Christ. Jesus has defeated death. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your indescribable gift. It's at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Thank you, Lord, for your indescribable gift. And it is indescribable, isn't it? It's wonderful what Jesus has done for you and done for me. Now, I'm a part of the Open Doors Persecuted Church ministry. And we sort of talk about people that are being persecuted. And I just, on my reading today, I just want to read you this short testimony from a man called Tofig in East Africa. Can't even remember. Tofik trained for 24 years at an Islamic school in East Africa to become an imam. Our teachers would tell us every time there was a new church in town, we were told to go and attack the people and destroy the church. So that's what we did, he says. Then he met Jesus in a series of visions. I saw Jesus very clearly telling me to follow him. Jesus said to Tofik, "It's me. Follow me. When you follow me, you will pay a price. There will be persecution in your life. But in the end, you will be victorious. I am with you." Well, Tofik's house was destroyed, his cattle stolen, but through his preaching, hundreds of people have come to faith. However difficult it might be, in your life, probably not quite as difficult as Tofik's, but God has a victory for you. If you can't see it today, be assured, victory is yours. He has you in the palm of his hand. You are totally and completely safe. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that, because security helps us to do what we feel is difficult to do. Security, you are secure in him. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your indescribable gift to us. To us at East Coker, we just praise you and thank you for your love to us. And we just thank you for laying down your life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Good morning. Morning. Really good to be with you. A few months since I was here last time. Oops. But we sang the song, God is really holding on. Was it God is holding on? I remember. Anyone remember? God is holding on. Well, I got a couple of things prepared about three places in the Bible. And I was listening to a song this morning. And the song was called, I Call Your Name and You Are There. And that's really what the Christian faith is all about, isn't it? I call your name and you are there. I called on the name of Jesus Christ in 1984. And he's been with me ever since. He's never left me. Completely and totally changed my life, as I'm sure those of you here that are Christians, he's changed your life. You called on his name, and he was there. When when the Israelites were in Egypt, they were prisoners. They were under slavery, weren't they? They went through the Red Sea, and they were delivered. And in chapter 16, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord. They sang this song to the Lord because they were delivered. Their lives were completely and totally changed. They saw the Egyptians on the bank of the river, didn't they? You read that before? In Exodus 14, so the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Now, as we look into our lives, we can see God moving, can't we? We can see him moving. We can say, thank you, Lord, you've saved me. We can say that, can't we? Thank you, Lord, you've saved me. You've delivered me. And they won't go on to sing, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed. Sorry, Tony, I'm messing up your thing there. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Now, we're all very busy, aren't we? We go to work, and if we don't go to work, we might be retired and doing nothing all day, every day. I don't suppose it works out like that, does it? But God has triumphed gloriously in your life. And things can come along and we can forget that. He has triumphed gloriously. He has become your salvation. Just as the Israelites were under slavery, then they were free. All right, they had a lot of problems still ahead. But they were free. They were free and they thanked God for their freedom. Even though they didn't know what was ahead, there's a wilderness and all the rest of it, they didn't know, but they thanked God that he had delivered them. And by them thanking God that he had delivered them, it blessed them, didn't it? By coming here this morning, you're praising God because you are on resurrection ground, aren't you? You cannot praise God if you're not on resurrection ground. You cannot praise God if you... Am I forgiven? Have I asked the Lord? No, you cannot. You can only praise God on resurrection ground when you say, thank you, Lord, that I am saved. And that does us good, doesn't it? It does us good. It's great. And God says, yes, I have saved you. And by you thanking me and by you praising me, that blesses you. And it encourages you. And I'm sure very often you've gone out of this church after the Sunday morning service, you think to yourselves, well, I'm really glad I turned up to church this morning because I feel different. And the reason why you feel different is because you've praised God on resurrection ground. You're delivered. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Whatever lies ahead of you, God's right hand is holding you up. Whatever I do, you know, sometimes we do, we climb up ladders still. I know I look too old to climb up ladders, but sometimes we do it. Only do little jobs. I think, oh, Lord. I'm always asking God to help me. Remember, you know, Jesus was a carpenter. Whatever lies in your path, whatever it is, whether it's tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, God is well able to help you. Well able to help you. Now, how did God shoot out the water through the Red Sea? Any I won't ask you. Anyway, I have asked you, but I don't want you to put your hand up because we haven't got time for that. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. Now, I don't want you to experiment because there might be some debris flying around the hall. But the blast of God's nostrils. Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing. He created everything, didn't he? Who is like you, O Lord, among gods? It says in, this is Exodus 15. Who is like you among gods? Where would you be? Ask yourself, where would I be if God hadn't drawn me to him however many years ago that was? Now, if any of you here are not Christians, just listen. Listen, because when I became a Christian, changed my life, changed, it was the most important thing that had ever happened to me. God revealed himself to me, revealed my need, and if you're a Christian, he revealed your need to you, whether you were 4 years old, 44, or however old, you were taken to that point. Now, I'll just go on a bit more to, where is it, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and a lawyer says to Jesus, what does he say? He says, Luke chapter 10, he says, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus goes on to talk to him about the Good Samaritan. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. This is a picture of fallen mankind, isn't it? This man was on a long journey, 15 miles, 18 miles long, steep terrain, caves, boulders, on his own. And it speaks really of a human life. You get born, and when I was born, I was pretty young. I don't know about you, but you get born, and you're a kid, you're an adult, teenage adult. And looking back on your lives, you think, well, a lot of things have happened, a lot of things have gone wrong, and a lot of things could have worked out better. But it's a hazardous, dangerous journey. And you are on your own. You are on your own, whether you're married, whether you've got kids, or whether you're single. You are answerable to God, aren't you? And as the man was half, let's say he was half dead, he was naked, yeah, they stripped him of his clothing, they wounded him, and leaving him half dead. He was totally powerless. He couldn't save himself. And that's a picture of anyone coming to the point, realizing they need help. They need help. They need outside help. I need help from someone because how I am now, I am totally powerless. I am totally helpless. Now, all the Old Testament, a lot of the Old Testament foreshadowings, prophecies, look forward to what Galatians 4:4 says. And Galatians 4:4 says, at the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. At the fullness of time. There's no plan B, in other words. There's no other revelation God has to reveal himself in his way of salvation. There's no plan B. There's no other chance. You see, all of the Old Testament, all the prophecies and everything, all look forward. All the foreshadowings look forward to the cross of Christ. And all the, in the New Testament, apart from the Gospels, which are mainly historical, but all the letters of the New Testament, they all look back to the cross of Christ. You see, the cross of Christ is a central theme in God's plan. And it says at the fullness of time, at just the right time, God sent his son. And if you're thinking here this morning, if for any reason you're not a Christian and you've not given your life to the Lord, then God is speaking to you and he is saying, the fullness of time has come to you because I have got you in the palm of my hand and I want you to give your life to me. There's no plan B. There's no other opportunity. I'm not saying you're going to die tomorrow. That's not what I'm meaning. But there's the only one way of salvation, and that is through Jesus. It was a steep incline. The man was powerless and helpless. His only opportunity was the Good Samaritan. And to be honest, the Good Samaritan doesn't reflect Jesus because the Good Samaritan was mixed race, whereas Jesus was a Jew. But the priest and the Levite, they represent the Old Testament law. And of course, no one can keep the Old Testament law. We all fail. You know, we fail. And the only one that hasn't failed, the perfect, sinless, is Jesus Christ. And he is the one who died for you. The fullness of time has come. Give your life to Jesus if you haven't, and I imagine most of you have. But Jesus was a shepherd. He came and he said, I am the good shepherd. And we are sheep. You are a sheep. A sheep. Now, a sheep is designed to recognize they need help. You've been put together, we have been put together in such a way that we need a shepherd. We cannot do it on our own. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, it's about David and Goliath. And David, I mean, there are types of Christ in the Old Testament. Isaac, Joseph, and David. We won't go into any of those, but David, the type of Christ. And looking at David and Goliath, it just comes out so clearly. Now, the Philistine, Goliath, he came out and he terrified the people of God, didn't he? He terrified, he was harassing the Old Testament saints, if you like. But David, where was David? At this point in time, David was in his father's house caring for a sheep. Now, whatever you're going through, if you feel that Goliath, current present day Goliath, is shouting at you, you've got opposition, I want to tell you, Jesus says to you, I am in my father's house and I am praying for you. I am interceding for you. And by realizing and being reminded that Jesus is praying for you, that can help us. It can help us whatever lies ahead. You go into tomorrow, or next week, whenever, you say, thank you, Lord. I am not on my own in this. You are with me. Now, David's father, Jesse, he said to his son, take now for your brothers an ephah of dried grain. He takes grain, he takes loaves, he takes cheeses to his brothers on the front line. David goes to his brothers, goes to Israel, laden with good gifts. Now 1 Samuel 17, look it up sometime, 1 Samuel 17 verse 20, says, so David rose early in the morning And there's no insignificant details in the Bible. David rose early in the morning. It shows his readiness to go on his mission. It speaks of Jesus. Jesus was ready to go on his mission to save you, laden with good gifts for you, laden with gifts of making you realize your need of a shepherd, making you realize, Lord, I am helpless without you. I realized in 1984 that when this particular night, that Lewis Palau was on the TV on a Terry Wogan show and he was talking about heaven and hell, and I realized hell is an eternity. And I fled to Jesus Christ. I got on my knees, asked God's forgiveness, asked Jesus Christ to come in. Nothing changed. Next morning I got up, I felt totally different. I fled to Jesus Christ. And when you realize what God has for you, you don't do it half-heartedly. You flee to Jesus. Amen? Amen. You flee to him. David came laden with good gifts for his brothers. Jesus Christ left heaven laden with good gifts for you. Thank you, Lord. Good gifts of forgiveness, good gifts of comfort, good gifts of, we heard it earlier on from our sister, patience, good gifts of endurance, good gifts of peace, good gifts of kindness and good works, helping people. Jesus Christ came laden with good gifts, and they were from his Father in heaven. God loves you. God loves you deeply, and he gave his Son gifts to give so that you could be a blessing on this earth. David, still in 1 Samuel 17, David, now just think about this. The Good Shepherd, Jesus is a Good Shepherd. David is a type of Christ. David, when he realizes God's called him to face Goliath, verse 40, he took his staff in his hand. The shepherd goes before Goliath in the wilderness, and it speaks of Jesus defeating Satan in the wilderness when he's tempted. The shepherd goes before Goliath in the wilderness. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter if you've come under attack, the shepherd is with you facing the enemy. That's good news, isn't it? Amen. David, he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, which speak running water, that speaks of the Holy Spirit. David, then he went up to Goliath, he knocked him out with a stone, and then he took his sword. This didn't actually kill Goliath. What killed Goliath was David took Goliath's sword and he cut off his head. He killed him. With a sword, he drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head. And so you can't help but think of Hebrews 2:14. Hebrews 2:14 says that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Jesus has defeated death. We can live confidently. However long we might live on this earth, we can live confidently knowing that you submitted your life to Christ. Jesus has defeated death. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your indescribable gift. It's at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Thank you, Lord, for your indescribable gift. And it is indescribable, isn't it? It's wonderful what Jesus has done for you and done for me. Now, I'm a part of the Open Doors Persecuted Church ministry, and we sort of talk about people that are being persecuted. And I just, on my reading today, I just want to read you this short testimony from a man called Tofig in East Africa. Can't even. Tofik trained for 24 years at an Islamic school in East Africa to become an imam. Our teachers would tell us every time there was a new church in town, we were told to go and attack the people and destroy the church. So that's what we did, he says. Then he met Jesus in a series of visions. I saw Jesus very clearly telling me to follow him. Jesus said to Tofik, "It's me. Follow me. When you follow me, you will pay a price. There will be persecution in your life. But in the end, you will be victorious. I am with you." Well, Tofik's house was destroyed, his cattle stolen, but through his preaching, hundreds of people have come to faith. However difficult it might be in your life, probably not quite as difficult as Tofik's, but God has a victory for you. If you can't see it today, be assured, victory is yours. He has you in the palm of his hand. You are totally and completely safe. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that, because security helps us to do what we feel is difficult to do. Security, you are secure in him. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your indescribable gift to us. To us at East Coker, we just praise you and thank you for your love to us. And we just thank you for laying down your life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
It's the first time, you know what it's like, first time. It's all good. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Let's sing an honor, strength and filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Father, we just ask that this week you would help us change the things that need to be changed, that you would help us step in under the palm of your hand, so that we are covered by you in all the things that you do, that we would hear you and listen to you and listen to your voice, Lord. Father, help us carve time out in this week and surrender the things that supposedly are so important, so that we can have time with you. There are days, Lord, I wish you had a Facebook page or a Twitter page or an eBay page, and it would be that easy, Lord. But Father, you want a relationship with us. You love us beyond what makes any sense. You prefer mercy over judgment. And for all the stupid things that we come up with to justify the place that we're in, Father, I just pray that as a church we start to listen to your heart and start walking according to the beat of that heart, Lord. That we start to love the unlovable. We start to forgive the unforgivable people. That we start repairing the relationships that we've broken because of our own ignorance. And that, Lord, you would come in power, as you are in other places in the world, where they lay down their life and say, if my people will humble themselves. Lord. So Father, I just pray that by the end of this week, we're a humble people and that we can get on and reach the people that you love that are around us that wouldn't dare come to this church because they don't understand it, because they don't see the love or they don't see the stuff that they believe a God of love should have. So Father, touch us in the power of your Holy Spirit. Touch us with your fire and change us. Brand us with your Holy Spirit so that we are never the same again. Bring us to that place of humility, Lord. Bring us to the place of love where Jesus laid his life down for us and changed us, Lord, immeasurably. Amen.
Jesus said, yeah.